Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for being with me today. It's good to be with you. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You got here just in time to hear our great friend Leslie Kossoff share some of her wisdom with us. Leslie is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's one of the top organizational thinkers that I know of. She works with people to help them to make sure that their organizations have the maximum opportunity to put their best foot forward. She, especially in the area of executive thinking, which is the title of one of her books, and especially in the area of managing for quality, which is the title of one of her other books. And that's what we're going to talk about today is quality. We've recently finished up a series on executive thinking, and we're going to get back into the quality thing, and I think this is very important. Let's get her in here. Leslie Kossoff, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's my pleasure always.
It's good to have you here. Leslie, quality was a big deal that got all the way down to small business level, the very small businesses level, in the late 80s and the 90s. It was really all the buzz, wasn't it?
It was.
What happened? Where did it go?
Well, unfortunately, it turned into sort of three things at the same time. One of them was just a buzz, and it lost a lot of its substance because it became so celebrity-driven among the management theorists that were putting out more hype than they were really solid theory.
Remember when you were a little kid and you would say a one word over and over and over and over again so many times that it finally wound up sounding stupid?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you play that little game?
Mm-hmm.
Did we say quality so much that it wound up sounding irrelevant?
It did. Absolutely, it did. And it's such a shame because it was really doing wonderful things. And for those companies that felt that they were continuing it, the way that they went was the more bureaucratic route, which was the ISO registration.
Right. The expensive way.
Absolutely. And that may have given you the ability to continue working with a larger customer, but it didn't give you quality.
Right.
And that was a that was just a misconception about what quality actually was. It's not just a documentation process, which is what
right.
ISO is. And then the third way is that everybody said, well, we already have it. And everyone, and as we got into the 90s, people started saying, well, we've already integrated quality into all of the ways that we do business. We don't have to focus on it anymore.
Right.
And that was like a fantasy. So you could either make it irrelevant, you could turn it into a bureaucracy, or you could make it into a fantasy. And those seemed to be the choices. And unfortunately, now we're seeing the outcomes of that because it's not a bureaucratic process. It isn't just an irrelevancy. It's absolutely crucial. And no, for the most part, most companies either didn't integrate it or when they stopped paying attention to it, lost it.
Well, what happened was there were two motivations for having quality, having a quality process installed. One was because your vendors told you or your customers, I should say, told you that you had to have that if you were going to dovetail with them and do business. The other one was because it was one of those fads that, you know, somebody said, you know, I got to have that.
Yes.
My neighbor has that. I have to have that. And it was a keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing. But the bottom line is, to me, and this is what you've helped us understand on the show many times before, and that I still want to say to small business owners, ladies and gentlemen, if you have quality service, that means you take care of customers when something goes wrong. Good for you. If you have a quality process, that means you fix things before they go wrong so you don't have to take care of them because they don't go wrong. Not that mistakes are never made, but more – more and more, you fix the problem before it happens. That's the quality process, right?
That's absolutely correct. And that's when you know that you've got your business running the way that you want to, the way you need it to run to make it a long-term success.
It's not quality. Having a quality process, ladies and gentlemen, is not some plaque that you put on the wall and say that you've arrived. It's not all this documentation. It's really a way of life. It's an attitude that you have to assume. How you get there can be different for different people, different organizations. And when we come back, I'm going to get Leslie to talk to us about that. We're going to get her to tell us how to achieve the quality process and serve your customers better, make more profits, operate more efficiently in the 21st century because you have the quality process. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We're back. 17 till. Mr. Robert Cray on blues guitar there, ladies and gentlemen. He's the best. Somebody else who's the best is Leslie Kossoff, our guest this half hour, the author of Executive Thinking and Managing for Quality. And I want Leslie to tell us, remind us where the books are available, Leslie, and also give us your website, please.
Actually, easiest way is off of my website, which is www.kossoff.com.
Two S's, two F's.
Two S's, two F's, and a couple of O's stuck in there, and it starts with a K. It's very Russian. And Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, all of the online booksellers have my books available.
Right. Leslie.
Another thing, and if you come to my website, you can sign up for my free executive advisory that comes out each month.
Yeah, thank you for that. Appreciate you making that available.
Sure.
And that's folks. Leslie, I'm gonna make a proposal that I think will make small business owners feel a little bit better about the quality thing.
Okay.
And that is that if you're a small business owner that weathered the last 3 years, 2001, 2, and 3,
yeah,
if you're still in business then and you know the beginning of the century and now and you still are, I'm gonna propose that the very fact that you survived and you go back and think hardening process, the trial by fire that maybe many of you had. You had to lay some people off, maybe not. You had to cut back. You had to tighten up to really focus on efficiencies. I'm going to say, Leslie, that those people have already started the quality process. They may not have.
Absolutely. You are absolutely correct because anyone, particularly small businesses that made it through this period, got to be working as quality organizations because you couldn't have made it through without.
So what? Well, the reason I wanted to point that out, folks, is so don't be intimidated by what Leslie's about to tell you. She's going to help us all understand how to do an initial quality assessment that you can do yourself. So don't be intimidated. You may already be well down the road. So Leslie, go ahead.
You know, and the best way that I can describe how to start your own initial quality assessment was guidance that from one of the very first executives that I worked for, who brought me into his office, and this was when I came in as an employee to Hughes Aircraft Company. And he sat me down and he said, "Too many decisions are coming to my desk. No one trusts the data they're looking at, and no one's talking to one another. Go fix it." And that was my charge in the organization, and it was before the days of quality, as we came to know it from total quality and all of the rest. But what really struck me about that, and as I've gone forward 20 or more years, I've realized that particularly for small business owners, it's a wonderful way to start an assessment. The very first thing that you look at is, what decisions are you having to make that you don't think should be coming to your desk? And because that gives you a really good idea of what's going on inside of your organization, how many decisions you're making because you're holding on to them because you don't want to let them go, and which of those should you be letting go, and also How many decisions are people not making because they're afraid to make them for some reason or another?
They don't feel empowered to make them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe because you either haven't given them the power or how you've reacted when they've taken the responsibility and maybe something didn't go well.
Absolutely. So you have to take, and the key to all of this is that, and this is why you don't need to have a consultant. I know I'm putting myself and others, you know, in harm's way here, but it's really true. You don't need a consultant if you can look objectively at your own business.
Right.
If you can take that step outside of yourself, frankly, and the fact that you're the one that created all of this, and it's all because of you, and all of that's still true, that you're the one that created. Because of everything that you've done, you've created these jobs for people, you've created product and service that your customers are happy with. All of that happened because of you. Now, step outside of yourself and take a look at how it's operating as if you were a consultant to your own firm and wanted to take it to the next level. And one of the first things you would be looking at is who's making these decisions and why are they making those decisions? And that gets you into the data because in a great number of cases, find is that the reason that decisions are being made the way that they're being made, the reason they're being pushed up into the business owner's office or into anyone's office is because no one quite trusts the data that they're receiving. And it gives you...
What would that data be like? Well, give us an example.
Most data that organizations look at are retrospective. They're review data. And there are actually three types that you can access. There's review data, which are the easiest. What happened yesterday? What happened last week? What's been going on for the last few months? So you can see trends, and that's good. But the problem is most organizations stop at that point. They don't work with real-time data, and they don't have predictive data.
Well, and see, that's what I called old produce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the older the numbers are, you know, would you make a with two-week-old lettuce?
No.
You know, and so don't, you know, and I'm not saying you can't use two-week-old numbers or two-month-old numbers, but it's not, you can't use it all by yourself, can you?
No, absolutely
not. You got to compare the two-month-old numbers with the two-hour-old numbers.
Yes.
That's the key. And we'll come back. We're going to get to help us some more with this. This is good stuff, folks. You won't get this anywhere else on the radio or the internet. 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Leslie Kossoff, the author of Managing
the night. We're laughing and I'm joking and we're feeling alright. Oh, I'm back. I'm nationwide.
We're back at 7. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we got Tony Paradiso, Pete Sepp, Julie Morgenstern, and Skip Miller. And we're going to have lots of fun with those folks. They're going to be talking to us about lots of different things, taxes and salesmanship. Site is Kossoff. .com. That's two S's and two F's with the O's in the middle. Leslie, I want to come back before we go any further. I want to come back and land on something you said last that I think is so important. Folks, if you're a small business owner, listen to what Leslie said. She said, if you're trying to do a little self-assessment of your business to see if you're inefficient in the way you operate, if you as the owner are having to do things and make decisions that somebody else could do, and you have them on board, that's a quality problem, isn't it, Leslie?
It is.
And that's and who is more, whose time is more valuable, and when it's wasted, is it more of a waste than the owner's time?
There's no one's time that's more valuable than the owner's, because when the owner is spending time doing things that can be done by people, trusted people inside the body of the organization, it means that the owner spend spending time looking at the future. And this is actually that bridge of why I went from managing for quality into executive thinking. It's
right.
Because
exactly.
So many owners, so many business owners, so many executives, even in large corporations, forget that what they're supposed to be doing is visioning and planning the future.
Right.
And instead, they're spending time in their own past by continuing to make decisions and focus on things that don't even require their attention anymore.
Well, and then the next level of understanding is when you start asking your people, your next level of management down, what are you doing that that somebody else could be doing? Have we hired somebody to do something that you're doing?
Yes.
You start letting that ball roll downhill, don't you?
You do. You absolutely do. And, you know, the wonderful thing about quality that, frankly, most corporations and businesses also got wrong in the 80s and 90s, quality is a very managed, incremental process. You know, this whole arena of empowerment, people tended to dump things on the next level down, or, you know, and it was unmanageable for everyone. And so what you're describing is perfect, that starting with the executive, the business owner, taking that objective look at what they're doing, what decisions they don't need to be making any longer, and then talking with their next level down. And as part of that discussion, so that next level down doesn't feel like they've just had the world dumped on their shoulders, mm-hmm. It then becomes the opportunity for the business owner with that next level of management to have a really good discussion about what's on manager's desk and what kinds of things are really productive and really valuable that he or she is doing, and what kinds of things might start being moved into further into the body of the organization. And small business owner, if you don't get it at this point, what mm-hmm. it is that you're doing, you're creating a multi-level organization. You are formalizing and creating the systems and procedures standardized that are manageable and traceable inside of the organization, that are exactly how you go from being a small to a mid-sized to a large organization if you want.
And the process of communicating down what, when you're giving your assignments to other people that's better for them to be doing, and helping them move those to other people that all the way down the organizational chart, that builds and opens up and solidifies communication channels too, doesn't it?
That's it. That third component, that no one talks to anyone, and what you're doing is you're creating a safe, positive, productive environment for communication, so that by asking the questions that are uncomfortable with your immediate management, with, well, not the people that report to you, but people who report to you,
mm-hmm.
Then they know that it's safe to bring up things that they might be uncomfortable doing, because you need to hear them. As the owner of the business, particularly in small businesses, you need to hear what's mm-hmm. going on. Even if you delegate who's going to be making the decision and taking care of it, you need to know, because those are the things that give you that ability to predict what you're going to be able to do going forward. Communication is part of that.
Well said, Leslie. We're going to continue this next time. We got more to talk about. Thank you for being here today. Good job.
My pleasure always.
Leslie Kossoff, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.